Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with Professor Ulrika Malmendier of the University of California at Berkeley. We met at the American Economic Association's annual meetings in New Orleans in January 2008, where Ulrika had presented a paper called Depression Babies. I asked her to explain what this was all about.
The main idea of this paper is that that past experiences we've had in our life may influence us for the rest of our life. And kind of a particular prominent story is the story of depression babies, that people who have lived through the Great Depression have supposedly become very risk-averse and prefer to save their money and savings accounts rather than stock or bonds, or between stock and bonds, rather bonds and stocks, and choose rather safe jobs, the whatever post office job, over the entrepreneurial job. So there's a lot of kind of notion that this is the case out there. You sometimes read it alluded to in magazines and journals and so on. But to our best knowledge, before kind of I and my co-author Stefan Nagel from Stanford started working on this, nobody had actually looked whether that's the case. And so that's the idea of the paper.
So essentially, you're trying to understand if there are differences in people's attitude to risk depending on which generation they're born into.
Exactly. And so one aspect is generation. So there are certain people who lived through the Great Depression. Others did not live through the Great Depression. And the idea is, can we test whether people who haven't personally experienced this, for example, that big event, the Great Depression, who know about it, of course, you can read, you know, the statistics, you can see what can happen to the stock market, but you haven't personally experienced this. Do these people act differently than those who kind of personally were around when these things happened? But there's also a second aspect which is important, that even within a generation, things may change over time. So right around the Depression and shortly afterwards, there is this effect of the Depression. It may fade somewhat away if we're living through a boom period. I mean, we do argue it leaves an imprint, it never fully goes away, but also within a generation, we can follow them over time.
So what are the data you've looked at then? You've looked at people born during the Depression, or who were grown up, grew up during the Depression, or came to adulthood?
Yeah, so we have actually a fairly large sample. There is the most comprehensive data set on asset allocation for U.S. households. That's what we use as a survey of consumer finances. And that one, like the regular database, starts in 1983. I mean, people are around in 1983, so that already goes back to the 40s. But we digged a little deeper. There are precursors of it, and they're usable up to down to, I should say, I guess, to 1964. So then you have people, actually, even people born in the 19th century are in our sample, of course not as many, but definitely a significant amount who have lived through the Great Depression during teen years or young adulthood. So the scope of our research is broader than just the Great Depression. We kind of more generally ask, do boom and bust periods affect you? Can we kind of predict, if we look at how old somebody is when he or she was born, and just look at how many boom and bust periods there were, can we predict how risk-averse he is, how much of his money he invests in what way? The Great Depression is a particularly impressive example. You see it quite strongly in the data, but it's by far not the only one. Also the 70s, oil crisis, stagflation, the boom of the 80s and kind of the boom and turnaround in the 90s are really out there in the data.
So which generation is it really that are most risk averse? And is it from growing up and sort of what they've been told by their parents because they're in a particularly tough time?
So that's a good question. And the last piece I can't actually fully answer. So what we find is you can't say there is a generation which is most affected because, as I said in the beginning, it varies over time. So if you go to the Great Depression and you look right after the Great Depression, maybe for 10, 15 years, you clearly do see the effect, which is probably most impressive in our data if you just look at the raw statistics. On the other hand, you know, you always worry that there are lots of things going on at a particular point in time. So we don't want to single it out too much. I mean, the whole point of our research is to say we look both within and between a generation. But you are right, kind of shortly after a big shock, you clearly see the largest effect. Now, the question of what is actually the channel is one where we think we do make some progress, but we can't pin it down just as much as you would like me to pin it down. Like, is it the parents, kind of seeing your parents being nervous about inflation or so on? Or is it really that you personally lost your money, kind of the first money you earned was put into some kind of account and it was lost? that we can't distinguish. For that, the money isn't fine enough. But where we do make, I think, a lot of progress over previous research is to disentangle it from other outcome variables. So, for example, you may think cohorts vary by wealth. Cohorts vary by education, by marital status, race, income. So there are a lot of things we can actually control for directly, so that's a good starting point. You may still worry there are unobserved, you know, wealth effects. And for that, the good thing is that we have a very specific hypothesis. We kind of like look at a person, aggregate in some kind of weighted average way, like his or her experiences in terms of stock returns, and say, okay, so now it should be going down, now it should keep going up. It's just only related to that experience of stock returns, how much he invests in stock. And we find this is the case. And then, very importantly, we do the same for inflation and bonds. So if somebody has lived through a high inflation period, he will figure out that investing in long-term bonds is a pretty bad idea because these $100 or whatever you get a year is not worth anything at the end of the day after a couple of years. So living through a high inflation period should also make you less loving of bonds, and that's also what we find. Now, these two effects taken together rule out a lot of channels. So, for example, wealth, the unobserved sales effect. So, you know, stock prices went down, you have less wealth, so you invest less in the stock market. Well, I mean, that couldn't explain the whole stock side, but definitely taken together with the bond effects, which are not, inflation and stock returns are not perfectly correlated, rules it out. So that's kind of, we're narrowing it down to really kind of being around in the period where stuff to the stock market and stuff to inflation happens. But we would love to kind of have more detailed data of how much you personally had on your account and see how that varies. Unfortunately, we don't have the data quite yet.
So broadly speaking, I guess the most risk-averse people are likely to be those that grew up during the Great Depression, and maybe perhaps people who really experienced the ugly economic times of the 70s. Who are the most optimistic and you know, willing to take on risk? I mean, is it the baby boomers or is it later generations, the ones that have grown up since the stock market boom from the early 80s?
Yeah, exactly. So for those people of the early 80s, we find a particularly strong effect. But again, one has to say, I mean, that's in particular the case during that period and kind of just after. After they experience the big crash and we go out a couple more years, it does fade away again. But your notion is exactly right. These are kind of the highlights in our data.
I mean, and what do you think, I mean, going forward? I mean, we had this sort of 20-year period between the 80s and the early 2000s where things were booming, and then things turned down. But they've ticked up again now. I mean, do you think the sort of young generations now are going to still have a very positive, optimistic view?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely still see it in our data. I mean, kind of compare that person to somebody who kind of also experienced kind of the stagflation period of the 70s. You see that this person, even though both of them experienced that, you know, after 80s, 90s came down again, you definitely see that that person with the 70s experience is more risk averse, is more careful. Of course, you have to control for age, etc. But, you know, after doing all of that, you see that the optimism survives. And in fact, we were actually quite impressed to see how very early experiences matter until the end of your life. I mean, so it something like whatever, you don't forget your first laugh or so. It does leave an imprint on you. So I do predict that it will persist. But kind of the big picture of this research for us also is to kind of just point out this, how much preferences and beliefs are affected and how much they change over time. Because we economists normally, like, you see an individual as born with certain endowed preferences which just never change over time. And we want to find out that is probably wrong. Our environment affects us a lot. And it may be, as you're pointing out, this generation versus this generation, but even within a generation over time.
Yes, because basically this is part of a broad research program of behavioral finance, sort of thinking about much more about
exactly.
The psychological underpinnings of people.
Exactly, exactly. That is kind of the big idea behind. Ideally, kind of just going forward, I would really love to know, the question you asked me before, what exact channel is it? Is it my preferences? Is it my belief formation? In this paper, we can't disentangle that. We can just say you make different types of risky choices depending on what you have experienced, and that is a huge departure from all the default standard models in financial economics more generally. So I hope we can kind of refine it in the future.
Ulrika Malmendier, many thanks.
Thank you very much.